Batcast. Hey, everybody. This is Dean Tripp. I wanted to bring you a short interview I conducted at the C2E2 Comic-Con up in Chicago this past week with my buddy Ben Blacker, who is one of the co-writers of the Thrilling Adventure Hour, along with Ben Acker. We talked about Batman movies that we like, and we might make this kind of like a regular bonus feature of the podcast, just talking about people's Batman movie experiences, friends and bat allies alike. Editor's note, there's a time where someone walks by and we say, "All right, buddy." That was Batman Inc. artist Chris Burnham, another good bat friend of ours. He stopped by. We should definitely get him on the show. But here's Ben Blacker with his Batman movie thoughts, focusing mostly on Batman Begins, but we kind of jump around. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, this is Dean Tripp. I'm talking to Ben Blacker of the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
And hi.
That's what he sounds like. We're going to talk a minute. I wanted to ask what Batman movie resonated the most with you or that you have things to say about so I can put it on my awesome podcast.
Hi. Yes. The strange thing is, so I love Batman.
Yeah.
I have always loved Batman.
There's a reason we're friends.
Yeah. He's my guy. But, and the 89 Batman was, I think I saw it the night before it came out.
Uh-huh.
And my friend's older brother took a bunch of us to go see it. And I loved it so hard.
How'd you see it early?
It must have been a midnight show or like that. I assume that's what it was. And I think there were like six of us or something. It was just the most fun. I was like 13 or something. But I've seen it since. And I like it. I like it for what it was. And I think we were talking the other night about like, it's kind of the thing that people are saying about the Marvel movies. Maybe you don't like Thor 2, but it's amazing that that exists.
Right.
Like, that is crazy that they're making a Thor movie or that they've made Thor movies. That's how it felt to see Batman at the time, that it's awesome that they're making a movie of this thing that I love, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Weirdly, none of them resonate with me anymore. I think the last two Nolan films were kind of terrible.
I'm a big Dark Knight fan.
Oh, I liked it so much when I saw it. And then...
We're recording a Batcast. All right, buddy.
I liked the Nolan Dark Knight so much when I saw it, and then I saw the third one, and it was so terrible.
It retroactively made you like the good
one? It's really not
a
bad movie. No, so I thought, oh my god, have I been tricked by all three of these? Because that was not a movie. It didn't have a beginning or a middle. And I get it, so I thought, oh, maybe all three of them together make a great movie. So I went back and watched all three Nolan films again, and only Batman Begins was any good as a movie. Dark Knight is a fucking mess.
Really?
Yeah. It makes no sense. No decision that any character makes in this movie is at all logical. And I understand we're dealing with psychopathic characters. But the Joker serves no purpose. It's a movie and a half. Like, the last 45 minutes of it are a different movie and should have been a different movie and could have sustained a different movie. But it's frustrating to watch because it makes no sense. Nobody wants anything that makes any sense. There are great performances. I mean, Heath Ledger does a remarkable job and he's compelling to watch.
You know the thing that I like that he does is he changes his accent depending on who he's talking to. I saw some reviews early on that said he just was inconsistent.
Uh-huh.
And having watched it a bunch of times, when he talks to like the Russian gangster, he has one voice. And when he talks to a girl, he has a different voice. When he talks to Batman, he has the least threatening voice possible for all. And it's consistent, which is what a Joker card does. Is it beats whoever it's against.
Oh, now I feel like I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I'm a big
fan
of that one.
Just see that.
I like it as a crime movie. There's one pretty glaring plot hole in it where...
There are a lot of glaring plot holes.
This is the one that bothers me. The rest of them, it's like, you know, I'm just too excited and I'm way too close to Batman to care. But the one where he jumps out the window to save Maggie Gyllenhaal,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like the old line of like, let her go. And then he's like, poor choice of words. You know, it's like very obvious he's going to drop her.
Right.
You should totally not have said that, Batman.
Exactly.
Great detective work.
You gave
there.
Him a setup line.
Super genius, billionaire philanthropist. Anyway, so they land on the car using one wing to glide down.
Mm-hmm.
Then the scene changes entirely. The Joker was upstairs and Harvey Dent's locked in a panic room. the Joker just be like, well, I guess we'll go.
That is
can't
a,
find, you know, the guy that's going to be Two-Face to get
him started.
There's
a deleted scene of him eating canapes.
Right.
And then going, you know what? I'm good. Let's just go.
I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go.
I'm sorry to drag you all out here. I'm embarrassed, frankly. The one scene I really like in that is the one that they took from Gotham Central of the interrogation scene.
Yes.
Gotham
Central was like the best Batman book.
Oh, absolutely.
Still holds up. Like,
absolutely.
It's so good. And they're doing like a Gotham show, and it makes no sense that it's not just straight up Gotham Central. Ed Brubaker, Greg Rucka, Michael
I'm hoping
Lark.
They just swipe as much as they can from that to make it a good show. I've not read the pilot yet, but I hear it's pretty good.
Oh, good. Well, getting Donald Logue on it gets me on board.
Absolutely.
I love that guy.
That's
I love
so smart.
Did you watch Terriers?
I love Terriers.
I've watched that like 5 times. Like, that was one of the best shows ever.
He's done Thrilling Adventure and is the nicest dude.
Oh, it's so great to hear.
Happy to be a character actor. He spent when we worked with him, this was a couple of years ago, he had just spent the summer working as a trucker?
I heard about that.
Long-haul trucking.
It was like after
it's
Terriers he did that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But super nice guy. I'm glad he's in this show. And I'm glad they're casting character actors.
Yeah.
Like, that's who should populate
him as Harvey Bullock is like, it invests me in this character that's pretty gruff and you know really well.
But there's heart there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Batman Begins is the one that works top to bottom as a movie.
Yeah, the psycho-effective flower, sure.
Yeah, no, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. That is totally fine. It's just comic booky enough. You know, I get that Nolan wanted to take this approach and make it much more grounded. And
kind of James Bondy.
Absolutely.
They made Lucius Fox from being the stand-in CEO to being like his Q. And
which,
Morgan Freeman kills it.
Yes. The casting is right. The look is right. The script works. The big thing it did, which the Marvel movies have been great at doing afterwards, is making aspects of the character intrinsic, which is, you know, at the time, was so neat to see. It's,
yeah.
Oh, this is where a batarang comes from, and this is where the cowl comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's armor, and it's, you know...
Getting the cape
really
to glide was so smart. And
absolutely.
The visual of him flying kind of like a kite, like, that's so satisfying every time you see it.
Absolutely. So, that worked. I'm even on board with Katie Holmes.
Not following you there. I'm not a big Maggie Gyllenhaal fan either.
It's a nothing character.
You know what I liked
There's
in Maggie Gyllenhaal's portrayal, though, was that she did some Katie Holmes-isms.
Yes.
Like a little bit of ditzy here. And because there's that scene in Begins where she's like, excuse me, I'm a lawyer. You know? Like, I need to get across this bridge.
Yeah, no, she is a good actress. It's a character that doesn't have anything to do.
Right.
And I think it's... That movie,
character is so shoehorned into the movie.
Yes.
Batman doesn't need a childhood love interest.
No. He doesn't need a love interest at all. I mean, and that
What's the thing in the 89 movie? It's like we were talking about on the podcast last week where he invites Vicki Vale on a date. Like, she's going to tell Knox, I've got a date. And they don't show the scene of him asking because that makes no sense. There would be no sense for Bruce Wayne to be like, hey, reporter lady.
Right.
Well, you know, you're a photographer and a journalist. Why don't you come hang out with me at my house? I'm not busy fighting crime.
I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing for you to find out. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Batman Begins suffers least of probably all superhero movies from having too many characters. I think, you know, even Iron Man, which is a movie I liked a lot and I think owes a lot to Batman Begins, is a little overstuffed. Oddly, Avengers was the movie I felt was not overstuffed.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Every character had
breathe,
a purpose.
Everybody has a place to talk.
Yeah.
Everybody's there for a reason.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
I hope you do a Marvel cast after this.
Well, we just did a long episode on the Marvel movies, but you're welcome to talk about them in this. but Begins, at the time... You have to look at all of these movies as a Batman fan as these blocks. Like, we're setting down, like, the 89 movie is such a step forward. The TV show was a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's, like, the animated series is a huge leap.
Yes.
Begins was a good step forward, and I liked so much of it. But as someone who's obviously very opinionated about Batman, leaving out the childhood vow seems so insane to me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because, like, in the origin, he makes a vow by candlelight after his parents are dead and after their funeral that he will wage war on crime. for the rest of his life to prevent what happened to him from happening to somebody else. And I feel so strongly in my bones that the whole idea of Batman is such an 8-year-old's idea. Like, even not knowing you're going to be the Bat, because that doesn't happen until the Bat flies through the window later.
Right.
But just like, I need to fight crime. I need to learn everything about this.
Yeah.
And it's, they have a term for it in psychology. Patrick O'Connor is this geek therapist guy, talks a lot about this, but he was saying that a lot of people, after a trauma, they want to get things back to where they were, but actually post-traumatic growth is going far beyond where you were, making yourself so much more capable. And Batman clearly does. I was on a panel with him last night. I was like, there's a technical word for Batmaning? Like, it was so good. But then they leave that out, because I think 20-year-old kicked out of Princeton or Yale, Bruce Wayne would just be like, fuck it, you know? The love interest seems shoehorned in. I liked the combination of Ducard and Ra's al Ghul. They called Ra's, which everyone goes back and forth.
I'm okay with that.
I'm animated series guy, so it's Ra's.
Exactly. I feel like animated series is the best Batman we've had in popular culture. Like, as you were saying earlier, like, Paul Dini gets it. Bruce Timm gets it.
Well, and they didn't write for kids, but they wrote for all ages.
Yes.
Those are stories that those creators wanted to see told, and they did it in a framework where it was scary, but you could be a child and be a fan of it. And I think that I always feel this way when creators, like, kind of block themselves off in mature or kid-friendly. It's like, why don't you want to be Harry Potter? Like, why wouldn't you want to be Batman the Animated Series? They did so many smart things, like, with the timeless look of everything, where it really holds up now. Where they can use computers, but also these limousines look like they're from the 40s.
Absolutely.
It lasts forever.
Yeah. And I think, actually, the Batman Begins did have a lot of that. I mean, it felt like there was a animated series influence as well, because they can't help but be influenced by all this other stuff.
That's the thing, is when you're working on one of these characters that people have been building for 7.5 decades, it's all... You can't help but draw on things. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't know they existed, you've heard of them through other things.
Yeah.
The only really big standout Batman Begins problem I have is the, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. Yeah, you do. You're Batman. You got to save him. That's your whole deal. And so in Dark Knight, when they finally rescue the Joker when he's falling in the building, which is a pretty clear play on the 89 failure to save him. Like, he's trying, he fails.
Yeah.
But you just couldn't let me go. Is so true. Batman's a guy who, as flawed as the Arkham Asylum system is, he's constantly taking criminals back there to hopefully get help.
Right. Also, wouldn't that be a great show?
Yes.
Spin-off from Gotham.
Let's do
Arkham.
That. Yeah.
How do we do that?
I don't know anymore.
You're in the Hollywood system. You can figure it out.
Yeah. And no problem. I'll get right on it.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Thanks so much,
Dean,
Ben.
Make mine Marvel.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Yay, that was awesome. All right, so that was Ben Blacker, who you can follow on Twitter at Ben Blacker. And his show with Ben Acker, The Thrilling Adventure Hour, is ThrillingADV on Twitter. I'm Dean Tripp on Twitter. And Jason Horn and I will be discussing the 1966 The Batman movie on our next episode. Some days you can't get rid of a bomb. Some days you have to watch a movie you've seen 500 times just to take notes on it, which you'd think we'd just remember things. But we want to do things in order. We are nothing if not scientists. Okay, we're not really scientists, but we are Batman fans, and we will talk about it. If you haven't already, please rate and review us on iTunes. I don't know if anyone has done that yet, which is crazy, because we're like the best Batman show other than Batman on Batman. We're shooting for the number 2 spot. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back here next week with 1966 Batman and shark repellent bat sprays and cat people in costumes and... I think you will enjoy listening to us talk about that one, because I think that one has a soft spot in a lot of people's hearts. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye!